Wes, thank you for that beautiful rendition. It is well with my soul. Okay, let's get ready and talk a little bit about prayer. And first of all, Tish, how are you doing?
Oh, I think I'm doing okay.
When will you know something?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. 3 months, maybe.
3 months, okay. All right. Okay, we'll continue to be in prayer. And how's Nathan doing on his scheduling?
So far, all systems go.
Okay, you'll know Friday? What will you know Friday?
I should know tomorrow. I think he's going to go in Friday.
Okay.
They'll call him tomorrow.
All right. All right. Very good. Okay. And so we'll be in prayer for Nathan, be in prayer for Amber, be in prayer for Alicia. And
Edna.
I'm sorry?
Edna.
Edna. Need to be in prayer for Edna. And we need to be in prayer for those working with Edna now. She's now at the point where lying still and all that's out. And so now she's yeah, just a few words. You have no idea. Oh, and son-in-law learns well. All right. Yeah, right. Trying to take it back now. It's too late. It's too late.
Worldwide.
Yeah. So, okay, we need to be in prayer for Eve. And
how's
she just in and out, her health and things, yeah. So we need to be in prayer for Eve. And need to be in prayer for Nancy Becker. We need to be in prayer for Vic Edwards, George, and his wife Cindy and grandchildren. We need to be in prayer for Betty Soup's grandchildren. And Betty Soup as well.
Shoup.
S-H-O-U-P.
Shoup.
And Betty Shoup. Shoup. And so need to be in prayer for Phyllis. She's getting feisty. She's my goodness. Okay. And she stopped going to church, and she's getting feisty now. She said she turned 75 yesterday. She said, "I've been going to church for 75 years. If it isn't enough, it's too late. I've worked. I'm not going to go anymore." And so,
harden her soul.
Yeah. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. The purpose of our prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in His Spirit to be the teacher on this very important subject of prayer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the supernatural work of God the Holy Spirit in inspiring the writers of Scripture to write that which You would have in the sacred text. We praise You, Father, in regard to the Holy Spirit preserving these writings, accumulating. Living a time, Heavenly Father, when there are just so many attacks on the Bible. One of those now, finding all these books that give other stories and other information, and they should have been part of the Bible, which is an infringement on who and what You are. We are thankful that God the Holy Spirit has accumulated those letters in this text that You prescribe, and then to preserve it over the year, over the centuries. And now, Heavenly Father, we trust your spirit to open our eyes to the things you would have us to see in truth. All these things and these works of the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, would be of little value if it was not for the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the truth. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will guide us tonight in our study. In Christ's name, amen. Let me ask you a question. Why pray? Why pray?
Why not?
I'm sorry?
So you can talk to God.
So you can talk to God. We're told to. Hopefully he'll answer him.
Because I want stuff.
Because I want stuff. Because I want stuff.
Maybe you should say I need stuff.
Not stuff I need.
If God knows everything, why pray?
You can incite him to act in a way different he might have otherwise.
Yeah, very good.
And it's like you being a child, I did honoring him, you ask the Father to do something for you, you ask your parents to do something.
Yeah. Okay, very good.
Many don't ask, they don't receive.
Yeah, and ask, you don't receive.
And sir, you know, like the angels, they can hear me.
Do what?
When you verbalize it, it's heard by
demons and angels. Yes. Yeah.
So they know.
Yeah. So, okay, where we are in our study, we are. I'm going to be teaching. The reason I ask, I'm going to be teaching in one lesson in Dan's church in June, and trying to think what I can do in one lesson, and I think I'm going to pull some of the things we've done in prayer here. Over the course of the study and pull some things together for that. But, okay, we are in the midst of observing some observations on prayer, and we have already noted, well, let's see here. Okay, that's in. And let's see what we got going here. Well, this isn't plugged in.
I think
engineer.
We know what the problem is.
Okay.
Engineer.
All right. There we go. Okay. Hey, all right. Let there be light. Let there be light. Okay. And we have already noted. We have already noted. What do you want to hire? Yeah. Did you see? Blind. Okay. We have already noted prayers are answered by Jesus Christ. And we noted that in John 14:13. And then we noted it John 14:13 and 14:14. And then we've noted prayers concerning the Holy Spirit. Last week we finished up at this point. Prayers concerning the Holy Spirit. John 14:16. I will ask the Father and He will give you another Helper that He may be with you forever. And then John 15:26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness of me. And then John 16:7, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you, but if I go, I will send Him to you. Then we noted C, and that is prayers addressed to God the Father and answered by the Father. So prayers addressed to God the Father and answered by God the Father. And that was John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. So, prayer is addressed to the Father, answered by the Father. John 16:23. And in that day, you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask, you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Then D, point D, neither the one whom the prayer is addressed nor the one who answers the prayer is mentioned. So, neither. Neither the one that we address the prayer to is mentioned, nor the one who answers the prayer is mentioned. So, we saw this in John 15:7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. No designation as to whom we're to ask. John.
Are all these in the context of the greater word?
Yes.
All of them?
In this context. In this context. These verses we're looking at.
Even on chapter 16?
Yeah, because this continues the upper room discussion. And a upper room time with the disciples.
But does it mean it's always in the context of the greater word?
I think it is.
Well, you think, okay, I think it is, but there may be some latitude.
I think one would be hard pressed to superimpose just in general in the context of being the totally answered prayers and where he is getting ready to go to the cross. Okay, let's see. And those were John 15:7, John 16:24, Matthew 7:7-8, and then Matthew 21:22. Okay, this is where we left off. So now we begin tonight with point E. Point E. Prayer answered by the Father, God the Father, without any mentioning of Jesus Christ. So prayers answered by God the Father without any mentioning of Jesus Christ. Just kind of taking a look at a lot of things about prayer here of Jesus Christ. Okay, first scripture, 1 John 3. And here again, we're getting out now of the upper room. John, so we're out of the upper room here. 1 John 3:21-22. So let's take a look at 1 John 3:21-22. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. So, note the condition of answered prayer here. Keeping His commandments and doing the things that are pleasing in His sight. So this begs a big question. What are His commandments? If I want my prayers answered, what are His commandments? They are the same commandments given in John 14, faith and love. But here, note verse 23. 1 John 3:23. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. So, here we have, and how are we going to have that love? By the work of the Holy Spirit. So, faith and love, which is plural or singular, just as we have here in the verse, it's plural or singular. Here it's singular. And we have faith and love are the conditions. So, and this is the faith and spiritual love, conditions of answered prayer. And we will note spiritual love and prayer related to the greater works. We get back there. Let's look at 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, so there is the condition now, according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. Pretty powerful statements. But again, the condition is according to His will. So, this is that prayer of preparation. Let this cup pass from me, but this is why I came. Prayer of preparation. The prayer, Thy will be done. Prayer pursuit, the cross. So, this is a very powerful concept of knowing the will of God. And we don't know, always know the will of God in all these iffy prayers. Prayer for healing and prayer for someone to get well, something to happen this way, that way. But one thing about the prayer of the greater works is that this is why Christ came. This is the will of God that not any perish. So this is a powerful concept in dealing with according to His will. Let's look at Matthew 18:19. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. So the condition of answered prayer here are two or more in agreement upon which they shall ask. Notice that Jesus Christ specifies my Father. And He specifies who is in heaven. This is a reference to the throne of God. Okay? So we have that condition. Let's note some observations. One, prayer is addressed to both Jesus Christ and God the Father. Prayer is addressed to both Jesus Christ and God the Father. Two, prayer is answered by both Jesus Christ and God the Father. Three, prayer is offered in the name of Jesus Christ and answered in His name, in His will, in His benefit. Prayer is offered in the name of Jesus Christ and answered in His name. Four, but there are passages where God the Father answers prayers without mentioning the name of Jesus Christ. Five, in these passages, to ask, in quotes, to ask is both the present and in the aorist tense, noting one, the continuous prayer life of every saved person. That's the present tense. And the emphasis on each specific prayer prayed. That's the aorist tense. So the present tense is used emphasizing the continuous prayer life that we ought to have. The aorist tense is the specific prayer of any individual prayer that's prayed. In several contexts, it's in the imperative. where we are commanded or mandated to pray. Remember that the imperative mood is the mood that's the furthest removed from reality. So maybe we will pray it, maybe we won't. Six, there are various conditions of answered prayer. There are various conditions of answered prayer. One, asking in the name of Jesus Christ. Two, asking God the Father. Three, if we abide in Him. Four, my words abide in you. Five, we keep His commandments, and it's important to know which commandments. We keep His commandments and do what is pleasing in His sight. And do what is pleasing in His sight. Six, where two or more come together in agreement upon the request. Where two or more come together in agreement. This is very important in a marriage. Years ago, I did a series on this and talked about you're married to a believer and you're having marital problems. Okay? If you can come together, say you just can't agree on anything and you're just headed for divorce. Okay? You come and sit down and say, do we agree that we want the marriage? And let's just say, okay, that we both agree to that. Now, then you just pray that. And I said, men, don't sneak in and let her see things my way and while you're praying together or any such shenanigans as that. No, it's just, this is all we can agree on. We just do not agree on anything else. We do not agree on my mother. We do not agree on finance. We do not agree on sex. We do not agree on any of these things. But there's one thing we agree on. That is, we both want this marriage. So then that's, you come together and you pray together based on that and that alone. And then finally, seven, you pray believing. You pray believing. Okay, now point seven. We're under some observations. Under observations. Prayer one, prayer is addressed by to both Jesus Christ and God the Father. Secondly, prayer is addressed to is answered by both Jesus Christ and God the Father. Three, prayer is offered in the name of Jesus Christ and answered in His name. Four, but there are passages where God the Father answers the prayer without mentioning the name of Jesus Christ. Five, in these passages, to ask is both in the present and aorist tense. Six, there are various conditions of answered prayer, and we just noted seven of them. Now, point seven. Let's note the answering of prayer. This is why we pray. We want our prayers answered. As Jim said, we want our stuff. So, this is we want our prayers answered. So, let's take a look at the answering of prayer. Okay, let's start with John, the Gospel of John, 14. The Gospel of John 14. John 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So, the verb to do is used in the answering of the prayer. Jesus Christ is doing it, not us. Point two. In John 15:16, let's take a look at John 15:16. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Here the verb is to give. In the previous passage, under point one, it's to do. Here it is to give. Now also look at chapter 16, verse 23. 16:23. And in that day, you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Okay, let's just see what we got going on here. So first of all, the answered prayer. Answered prayer is one, do. I will do it. Secondly, and to this one, the verb is to give. God the Father, God Jesus Christ will give it. Now, point three. Point three, let's look at 1 John. Let's go back to 1 John now. 1 John, chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. So the verb here in the answered prayer is to receive. To receive. Look at, that was First John chapter 3, 22. Let's look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 8. Verse 8. Verse 8. And everyone who asks receives. So here we have receive, the answer to prayer. Look at Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 22. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So, an answer in a prayer, I will do it. To give to us, and we will receive. Okay? Number four. 1 John, chapter 5. Let's go back over to 1 John now. 1 John. You ought to know where it is by now. It's close to the back. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. So we have the request. Whatever we ask, we have the request. And then 5, John 15:7. The Gospel of John 15:7.
Bible.
It's a Bible church. John 15:7. This Bible, you know, we do Obadiah and pick out some of those that not normally go to. And Habakkuk. All right. We're number five. Look at John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So, it will be done. It will be done. Let's look at Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything that they ask, that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. It will be done. Shall be done. So these are the answers to the way that God will answer our prayers. He will do it. He will give us. We will receive the answer. We have whatever it is we requested, and it will be done. Now, the first and the fifth kind of go together in the doing and it be done, but they are different verbs, so we noted that. Okay, now let's go to the next major point, a look at some pertinent passages related to prayer in the epistles to the church. You'll note that we have not dealt with any of the epistles to the church. So let's note some epistles, some of the passages on prayer in the epistles to the church. Point one. There are many prayers by Paul where the one to whom the prayer is offered and the one who answers the prayer is omitted. Yet it seems to Paul that all prayer is addressed to God the Father. Now, we're not going to exhaust this, but let's note a few passages that you can write down and then go back over and just look at it and when you want to follow up on this. First of all, Romans. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. I'll give you the thing and then we'll turn to it so you can write it down. Romans 10, 1. Romans 10, 1. Brethren, believers, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. He's talking about the Jews. But this is his prayer, seems to be addressed to God the Father. Look at Romans 15, 30. Romans 15, 30. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of from the Holy Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. A lot going on there, striving together, two or more come together, striving together in his assembly, and they're in prayer for him. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 9:14. 2 Corinthians 9:14. You can write it down and then let's turn to it. 2 Corinthians 9:14. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. He doesn't say to whom, just that they're in prayer for them. Okay. 2 Corinthians 13:7. 2 Corinthians 13:7. These are great passages just to let the Holy Spirit open up a lot of things going on. Two or more gathered, things that they want to pray about. So 13:7. Now we pray to God that you do no wrong, not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we should appear unapproved. So he's praying in regard to the conduct of believers walking in the Spirit as it relates to, as it relates or doesn't relate to himself and to his own person. There's just a lot of things that we can be in prayer about. Let's look at Ephesians 1:16. Ephesians 1:16. Ephesians 1:16. Do not cease giving thanks. Okay, thanks is a matter of prayer. Do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. So Paul prays for other believers, and in the midst of that, he always gives thanks for them. And when I sit down and study, sometimes I'll just go into prayer in regard to each of you in the assembly, learning this from Paul. Okay, let's look at Philippians 4:6. By the way, you should give thanks for your husband, your wife, your children, your friends. Okay? Your mother-in-law. Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1:16. Ephesians 1:16. Philippians 4:6. Okay. Let's do that. Philippians 4:6. How about that? Yeah, we've done that. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, that's a powerful verse in dealing with prayer. Be anxious for nothing. And so you have to be in the power of the Spirit. He gives you that peace, regardless of who wins the election, regardless of what happens in life. This is why we studied under SAD, first thing, that stress, anxiety, and depression are preceded by thought. They don't just overcome us. We think things. And then the anxiety and the depression set in. So this is, the stress sets in. So the first thing you want to do when you hear news is to get oriented to the plan of God immediately. And this is a beautiful passage in dealing with that. And then let your request be made known with thanksgiving. Okay, Colossians 1:3. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Okay, so this is a matter of prayer. Now, here it doesn't say what he prays, but we know from other passages he prays that they'll walk in the Spirit, grow in the Word, these kind of things. And but just praying in regard to believers. The early church prayed to God the Father. Let's look at Acts 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 12. Verse 5. Acts 12:5. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. So, there's been discussions in regard to fervently. What is the fervent praying? And but the ideal there in the text of the Greek word is the urgency of things that may happen to him when he was in prison. So the urgency of the prayer would be the fervence of the prayer, the urgency of the prayer. Somebody may be, just to give an example, on the operation table. So you would be in fervent prayer, urgent prayer, and that during that, because this is a time frame, and that's the fervence of the prayer. And just because some people, well, you didn't pray fervently enough and all that, that makes that a work. And that prayer is not a work, and fervently praying is not a work. There are people who pray, they're like they pray all night and in a church or something. And while there's nothing wrong with that, that we don't want to get the idea that God is overly impressed with that. I was impressed with the Rieslings when they were making the decision of what they wanted to do with their life. You recall Bill was telling us. Well, they'd spent the month of June in whatever year it was, and they just, somebody was always praying in the house, and I appreciate that. I just don't want people to think, okay, that's the way you get prayers answered. No, that doesn't mean that's the way you get prayers answered. But that was in their heart, and I believe they were led of the Spirit to do that, and that's fine. But we don't want to get the idea that that's the way that you can manipulate prayer or manipulate God. It doesn't work that way. Okay, now, point two. We should pray in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. We should pray in the leading and in the power of God the Holy Spirit. And there are a number of passages. Let's look at Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. At all times when you pray, do it in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. But the point is that I want you to see to be prayer all times in the Holy Spirit. All right, let's look at Jude 1:20. Now, Jude is the next to last book in the Bible. Jude, verse 20. Only one chapter, but 1:20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit.
Most holy faith?
I'm sorry?
Most holy faith?
Most holy faith.
What does that mean?
That's praying in the faith in the Holy Spirit.
Trust in the Spirit.
Okay. So, in fact, with that faith issue there, let's look at James 5. Let's just add that real quick. James chapter 5, verse 15. James 5:15. And the prayer offered in faith. Now, we've already seen pray believing, but prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sin, they will be forgiven him. Now, this verse gives us a lot of problems and that I don't want to get involved in, but we pray in faith and believing. So, this is prayer. And then one other passage on this, 1 Peter 3. Let's go look at, just turn a page or two to 1 Peter 3, verse 12. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So, we have praying in the Spirit, pray believing. Now, I got more I want to do here, but I want to talk with you. We've pointed out a lot of things. Sometimes it says to the Father, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the Father answers, sometimes it doesn't. Now, we've had one, two verses about praying in the Holy Spirit. So, does this mean that since none of the other passages talk about praying in the Holy Spirit, that there are times when you can pray not in the Holy Spirit, and that prayer be heard and answered by God?
Yes.
Yes? Not in the Spirit? Okay, here's my point.
You're talking about in the filling of the
Spirit. Yeah, in the filling of the Spirit. Yeah. Here's my point, is that one reason I've just went through and put all these down for you is that we want to be careful of dogmas like you've always got to pray to the Father, because we've seen some prayers can be prayed to the Son. We've got to always pray this way or do this and do that. And there are so many circumstances and so many complications. This is why prayer is so complicated to so many people, even to preachers who I think have done a very strong disservice to people. And, oh, just pray and God will answer your prayer. So I prayed fervently that God would save my marriage, and He didn't do it. And so I don't believe in prayer anymore. I don't believe God answers prayer anymore. Got to be so careful. There are so many things that differ in circumstances, and I think that it would be safe to say that the bottom line, and I got more I want to do here, I'm just talking now, but the bottom line is according to His will. And that's why Christ said, "Thy will be done." And that is not a cop-out, because you want to be very careful when you say that. Do you mean that? It calls Christ the cross. So whenever we add that, "Thy will be done," then you better mean it. Because you may not know what His will is. And His will may be just the opposite of what you think is good, what you think ought to happen. So we want to be very careful. And then add to that, I do think that a condition of believing is, and I've come to this point in my life over the years, that I believe His will be done. So that whatever I do, I can pray that believing that God is going to work all things according to His will. And so there are just some things that we want in this. Now, the filling of the Spirit is to guide us in the prayer and to empower us in the prayer. So we got both of those working at all times. Okay, we'll come back.
So what you're telling me, what I'm understanding you, my first response was, you don't have to be in the filling of the Spirit. Is that correct or not correct from what I'm understanding?
Right.
Because I could, like, for instance, if something's happening in New York City, so you don't got time to almost have
okay.
to switch gears.
Okay. You can pray a prayer out of the Spirit. Okay? There is no fellowship, no dynamic of prayer between you and the Father or the Son at that time.
So the understanding is that He doesn't hear it, won't even be a question?
No. No. Now, the tricky thing there is, let's say that whatever it is you prayed out of the Spirit does come about. Okay? That's not an answer to prayer.
That's His will being done.
So what we want to do with prayer, getting back to our original question, why do we pray? We pray because prayer is communication with the Father. Christianity is an intimate relationship between the believer and God. That's why Christ came. He came to bring us to the Father. And like any relationship, there has to be the communication. One of the great problems with marriages is very little communication. There's arguing, there's orders, there's these kind of things, but very little communication. And if this continues, that marriage is in trouble. So we have a relationship with the Father, and we want to exploit that fellowship with Him. The more we talk to Him, the more we're dependent upon Him. Okay, point three, we're looking at passages per the New Testament. So point one, there are many passages, prayers by Paul, where who we pray to is omitted, but to Paul it seems to always be the God the Father. Two, we should pray in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. And three, congregational meetings for the purpose of prayer was a vital part of the early church. A vital part. Congregational meeting for the purpose of prayer was a vital part of the first century church. Acts 2:42. Let's take a look at it. Acts 2, verse 42.
Is that because they were lying and roaming in the next corridor
down there? Right, Acts 2:42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So they would meet, and I'm sorry, we really don't have a prayer meeting here, but I think it's very powerful. I've been in Tucson at times when I'm not teaching, like when John was down, and at just various times we went to the missionary deal, and they meet on Tuesday night at different people's homes. And it has just been so powerful. There'd be as many as 20 people there, and more than they get during on the Bible class on Wednesday night sometime. And their prayer time is just powerful, and they always mention us. We're always mentioned in their prayers, and they are tuned to various people that we're in prayer for, and they'll even pray for them, even though they haven't met some of you. So. It's a very powerful thing seeing going on there, and they're very big on praying in regard to the greater works, and God has brought the Rieslings into their life. John was the first one, and he introduced the Rieslings to myself and to Dan, and the opportunities that John has had to go to Africa and go to Russia and then send out missionaries and just to work with them. So prayer is just a powerful thing, and congregational prayer is powerful. Point four. Having a set time and place of prayer. Having a set time and place in prayer is a good idea. It's not a violation of liberty. Let's look at Acts 3:1. And just while we're turning there, we have a set time that we come and meet to stop, open the text, and worship together in that way. So having a set time in your own life for prayer is not a violation of liberty. It's a good idea. And Acts 3, verse 1. John, we're going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. Chapter 10 of Acts, verse 30. Chapter 10, verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. So Cornelius prayed at a set time of prayer. Let's look at Acts 16. Acts 16. Verse 13. Acts 16. Verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we were outside the gate to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. So they would have a place that the ladies would go and pray. Look at verse 16 in the same chapter. 16. And it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her master much profit by fortune telling. But the point is that they had the place of prayer. The place of prayer, and it's a wonderful idea. No dogma should be put on that, and we pray without ceasing. We just pray all the time. But it is a very good idea to have a time and a place of prayer. And we have a time and a place that we eat, and we have a time and a place we sit down for fellowship in the TV room or something. And then, but to have a time and place of prayer is very befitting to one's life, to just laying out a scheduled type of prayer. And then we pray throughout the day. Don't let me get hit by that truck behind me, and don't let this happen and that. But to have a time to where you have maybe a prayer list and prayer things that you go through and talk with God about is a very good idea. Okay, we will resume here next Wednesday evening, continue our look in dealing with prayer. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the information dealing with prayer, the exhortation, how often it appears in Scripture. I pray that your Spirit will guide us, Heavenly Father, in the leading of the Spirit to pray with our husbands and our wives and family and friends. How powerful it is, Father, when the world is so stressed as it is now, so much tension in so many areas, to have that peaceful time to just meet and be in prayer with one another, to you, regard to your plan, regard to your glory, just to give thanks and praise, as well as letting our requests be made known. Father, I pray your Spirit will take these things we've seen, cause them to bear fruit in our own soul and our own lives, Father. Pray it in Christ's name. Amen.